So, John, we're recording on Wednesday. Obviously, last night was the big drubbing for Southampton, 9-0 to Man United. And obviously, there's all these things flying around Twitter of, you know, Bednarek getting minus 7 points. I've seen a few screenshots of captaincy on Bednarek, or just him in the team with a couple of other Southampton defenders, or one with him and Leno. But one really stands out for me, which is a guy who's it's not like a fake account, it's a real account, who has like real players in his team, like legitimate picks. And like, he played all of last season and he's played since week one this year, like making one or two transfers per week, like normal play with like decent players and all that. But this week he triple captained Bednarek for some crazy reason away at Old Trafford. The rest of his team, you know, he's got Salah, Firmino, Calvert-Lewin, Son, Bamford, Martinez in goal. So, you know, it's a decent squad, but for some reason he triple captained Bednarek, minus 21. And he didn't have any Man United players either, so he's had an absolute wounding week. But then I was just flicking back at his... So blank game week 18, a lot of people, including... We both use our free hit, John, to target the players who actually had fixtures. But this guy brought in... Obviously, you have to bring 15 players on a free hit, don't you? And he brought in 11 who didn't have a game and only 4 that did have a game. So he brought in the likes of Bednarek again. He really likes Bednarek. He didn't have a game.
He loves a good Bednarek.
Yeah, he brought in 2 goalkeepers who didn't have a game. Southampton, yeah, 3 Southampton players, no game. Salah was his vice-captain, no game. So he's someone who's actually actively playing and decided to take a free hit on a week where he had no playing players, obviously, but just brought in a load more. Just craziness, crazy FPL play.
You wonder what's going on there. Right? Do you know, if he's playing relatively serious but making absolute disgusting decisions, like who triple captains Bednarek away to Man United?
Yeah.
Like that just either screams of incompetence, hacking, or trying to get what he got, which is a gimmicky screenshot to get followers or something. Do you know what I mean? I just don't get why you would possibly do that. Maybe. It's not even like...
Maybe it was a mistake. His vice captainship is sitting there on Salah. Maybe he wanted Salah at home to Brighton and he just got his... He just made that error. But to do that, to play properly all season, but then to do a blank... To do a free hit chip and bring in 11 players who don't have a game, when the purpose of the free hit chip is obviously to maximise the players who do actually play.
Wes, I think I might have worked it out.
Go on.
Who was his transfer last week? Did he have Cancelo or Stones or Diaz as captain last week? Then remove them for Bednarek.
It's a good shout. But last week he had Kane and Salah as his captain and vice. He didn't have any, didn't do any defenders transfers this week, and just somehow it ends up on Bednarek and it's tripled. So, I'm just flabbergasted, to be honest, John.
But it's funny, like Bednarek's not one of those players that's like absolutely ludicrous to have. I think like 10% of people have him or something. Yeah. I think I don't know if you had him in this season, but we've definitely...
I don't think
you
have, no.
Yeah, or talked about him.
Bednarek, if you know, this guy's team would be absolutely fine. Like if I had Bednarek in my squad and my other defenders didn't have a good game, or you know, if there was just an injury and I had to play him away at Old Trafford, I'd probably be thinking I might get a lucky clean sheet if it's a drab 0-0, or I'll probably get a 2-pointer, but I'll just take it on the chin and move on. It's not the fact he's got Bednarek in his team, it's the fact he's triple captained him like a madman and then did a free hit and brought in 11 players who don't have a game. But yeah, what a legend. So if you're listening, tweet us, please, because we'd love to hear from you more.
Yeah, if you're listening, or if you know this man or lady, if you know this person, please let us know. But yeah, it's been an interesting week so far. For the record, we are recording on Wednesday. This is Wednesday, isn't it? The 3rd of February. Wednesday sort of noonish. So we've only actually had the Tuesday night games. So a lot of this will be speculative. I'm sure you can appreciate the quick turnarounds of game weeks are killing podcasters slowly. But it's okay. We'll stick through it all. Before we get into the podcast, Wes, though, we need to give a shout-out to partners of the show, Fanslide. Fanslide is a completely complimentary... it's completely complimentary to FPL. It's a separate FPL game, and it's a world's first in-play fantasy football game. This week, there's a £250 prize in the Liverpool City game. And it adds a complete new dimension to watching sort of football matches. Do you know, you can use your FPL knowledge in a one-off match, which is, once you've made, I always say this every week, Wes, and listeners who listen to this part of the show will know, I always say, like, you do all this research for FPL, And once you make your like one or two transfers, that's you done. You know, you could continue that on into other games. And just to emphasise, it is free to play, but there's 250 quid up for grabs.
Yeah, so I'm going to be playing the 250 quid game. It's free to enter, like you said, John, and it's actually the, one of the biggest prizes up for grabs there, the 250 quid one. So yeah, everyone go to the link in our description and download it.
All right, Wes, well, I think we should just run through the Tuesday night games because they're the only games we actually have the results of in front of us very briefly. Some of them are pretty boring, albeit all of them had lots of goals. But in terms of FPL assets, I think Sheffield United and West Brom, 2-1 to Sheffield. Like, I mean, who cares? Is that a bit savage or is that fair? Do you know?
No, pretty fair. The only asset in that game really didn't do in, got a yellow card, which was Pereira. He's done pretty well in recent weeks, cheap midfielder. But yeah, let's gloss over that one.
Yeah, there's no point. But Pereira is the only player for me. They're those teams I've heard anyone mention. I think General might have Johnston and goals, but I don't know.
I think he transferred him out. I think he transferred him out this week. Which I think he's just sick of him. I think he brought in Martinez from Villa, so probably a good move.
Great call. Wolves Arsenal. Do you know a lot of youngsters on show, a lot of talent on show. I didn't actually catch the game. Did you catch much of it?
Some of it. It was on at the. It was on early doors, wasn't it? So yeah, I caught some of it. And Arsenal, you know, David Luiz got a sending off. I mean, I'm probably in the minority here, where I think he actually knew what he was doing. He kind of tripped up the attacker, but kind of tried to make it look like a mistake. He ran behind him. In my opinion, people are probably screaming at their headphones now, saying there was never a red, but it's just my opinion. And yeah, I think in terms of FPL assets in that game, Lacazette's doing okay at the minute, got an assist. Saka hit the post and got one ruled out. Got a goal ruled out for offside in the build-up, which would have been another Lacazette assist. Moutinho scored, obviously, a wonder goal and Neves scored as well, but those two aren't FPL assets. Neto popped up with an assist, but again, it was the assist for the Moutinho screamer. So it was like a 2 yard pass from 40 yards. Yeah. And Pepe scored, but again, don't go near him for FPL. And then another red card near the end for Leno, which might mean Matt Ryan, 4.2 million, gets the next three games. Probably not worth bringing him in your team, but he is cheap. You know, if Leno did get some sort of long-term injury, that could be a good option, but obviously that's all ifs and buts.
I think the only player here who I'd like to talk about, well, it's obviously disappointing for a lot that Saka blanked. I think he had like two clean-cut chances in the first 10 minutes or something. A few people were pretty gutted. And for me, I think I pointed out Neto maybe about 4 or 5 weeks ago on the show, sort of saying, like, I don't know if I back him as an FPL asset, and I've never brought him in, but just as a young player, talented player. I heard he played a blinder last night. He got the 3 bonus. He did get an assist. So, do you know, Neto, I think, is one we all need to be watching, maybe more for next season. Just keep an eye on him and his sort of career arc. I'm not saying bring him into your FPL team now, but if you're a fan of football, which is why we're all here, Neto looks very, very promising. Young Portuguese.
I want to echo that. He's like, you watch him and you think, wow, what a player. And I think, like you're right, at some point he's going to sort of turn this sort of excellent play / inconsistent FPL returns into actually more regular. You know, he'll get a bit more ruthless with age and get sort of maybe a couple more tap-ins or a few more assists, that sort of thing. That normally happens with a bit of age. But yeah, it's definitely an absolute bright spark. And I think you touched on Saka as well. Him and Smith Rowe, again, is dirt cheap. They're both valid options. I know Arsenal's fixture run isn't great at the minute, so maybe not worth transferring them in. But if you have them, possibly worth a hold, one of those scenarios.
What we haven't discussed since we last seen each other was transfers. And now there's maybe not too many to discuss, but Odegaard to Arsenal is an exciting one for me. I can't wait to see him get game time. I don't know, Wes, you see, because I kind of come from a space where European football is high up, and I've watched him play for Sociedad a few times.
Yeah.
Do people who are diehard into FPL but maybe don't follow European football, like yourself, and I know you probably do follow the wider scene, but like, would you know much about Odegaard other than his sort of wonder kid status, or...
Yeah, exactly. For me personally, I'm sure there'll be some people who do know more and take more of an interest in European football. But yeah, I'm more heavily focused on the Premier League and the Champions League to an extent. But yeah, sort of league games in Spain, I wouldn't really watch much of that. But yeah, I'm excited to see how he gets on because, like you said, he's got that wonder kid status for... He seems to have been around for years, but he's still really young, isn't he?
He's really young. I mean, all I can say is that 1920 season when he was at Sociedad, like... he's one of these players, like, I'm not going to, he's nowhere near the level yet. Obviously, his age is a factor, but you know the kind of Mesut Ozil, or like even Kevin De Bruyne, maybe more so, that like eye of the needle pass. His eye for a pass is obscene. One of the favourite assists I've ever seen came from him. He was on the right-hand side of the pitch. He cuts inside and plays it with his left foot. You know, defence-splitting pass, passed about four players, playing in the end. Like, he's got highlight reels of assists and free kicks and corners. Yeah. And all. He's amazing. So if you're an Arsenal fan, get very excited. If you're not, keep your eyes on him, because if he starts getting game time and Arsenal start playing, he could be an absolute FPL cheat code, and I'm not understating that. If he gets the game time and fits in the team,
and that's like with many players, he kind of falls into this bracket of, okay, we know he's a good player, we know he's got talent, but he's a new sign into the league, so all you got to do in these sort of scenarios is you keep him kind of on your watch list or in the back of your mind, that you know that you want to pounce on this player if he does show signs of becoming a first team regular, settling in at the club and all those sort of things. So wait for those things to happen, but kind of don't wait. If he is going to become a player that everyone's going to want or everyone's going to jump on because he is that good, then you want to kind of be an early adopter into that and just get him on the... It's that balance of not waiting too long but not going too early. Like, exactly. Like now is definitely too early.
Yeah,
but 100%. Yeah, he's definitely one to keep in your thoughts for when it does happen, because you could be an early adopter there, which could really help you rank.
Exactly. Like, you know, going now, it's too risky a proposition. He could sit on the bench for another 3 weeks. But, I mean, once we see a game or two, I'm pretty sure he'll saunter into that team and take set pieces. I could be wrong, but I would imagine that happens.
Yeah. And also, sorry to jump in again, but I was just going to say that if you've got someone like a Smith Rowe in your team, you want to just be careful that... I know Smith Rowe's really cheap, so you can bench him, yada, yada, but he could end up affecting his game time, because I believe they play... in a similar position, so he might take some of his game time there.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I have seen Odegaard kind of playing on the right wing, not necessarily too much of a wing player, more of like a support playmaker kind of thing, but on the right hand side, if that makes sense. He wouldn't be your like Salah or Mane type attacking pacey winger, but it's more get the ball out there and cut in. I've seen him doing that, but I think his predominant position would be sort of the number 10 role, or kind of dropping in behind the striker. So we could see him taking game time off any of those players, really. So just, I suppose that's a bit of a long section on Odegaard, but just be watching him, because if he does come in the team, he could be on set pieces and he could steal game time.
Yes.
The next fixture was obviously the 9-0. The less said, the better if you're a Southampton fan, but United looked
crazy.
In fairness, United looked clinical. They just didn't let up. They kept going. The red cards, whatever you think about them, God love Jankovic or whatever his name is, like in terms of just, I think it was his debut, was it?
Yeah, so Southampton have been stretched really thin at the minute in terms of players they could choose from. So there was already going into the game like as underdogs anyway, because it's Man United away, and then they've got a weaker squad, and then there's a red card after, was it 2 minutes or something ridiculous? So that didn't help. Then United smelt blood, which meant that, you know, would Wan-Bissaka, I think the first goal was a Luke Shaw cross from open play to Wan-Bissaka back post. Now, would Wan-Bissaka be that high up if it wasn't for the 10 men scenario? We're not sure, but I think, a lot of things went against Southampton. Obviously, they got a goal disallowed by VAR for like millimetres offside, which was stupid. They had Martial essentially dive for a penalty, in my opinion.
To
be fair, the game was gone, obviously, at that point. But it's crazy. I didn't actually realise until just looking now, there was actually eight different goal scorers. Martial got a brace off the bench in the second half, and then there was Fernandes, Rashford, McTominay, James, Wan-Bissaka and Cavani. So there's a lot of assets maybe we should be talking about in a bit more depth here. And then also I'll just run through the assists for people who maybe aren't aware or just forgot, because there's so many. Shaw got two in the first half, but then was rested. Fernandes got two. Martial got one. Didn't actually realise Martial got two goals and an assist off the bench. That's a really good return for Martial. Rashford got an assist. Wan-Bissaka, Greenwood. I just want to touch on Shaw, because I'm pretty sure I've seen a quote this morning saying that I think because maybe of his injury history, or, you know, he's played a lot of games recently and he's playing so well. Obviously, the game was won by half time, that I think Solskjaer just protected him by, there's no point risking an injury to a player that might get injured when you are 4-5-0 up at half time, whatever it was. I forget now. So yeah, in terms of, if you've got Shaw now, don't worry about that being a sort of injury half-time withdrawal. It was more precautionary and just keeping him fresh for the next game. So it's probably a good thing, although you'd have missed out on your clean sheet points. Good in terms of long-term that he's going to be fit. So yeah, should we just run through the Man United assets a little bit?
Yeah, 100%. I think there's no better place to start than, well, defence. Wan-Bissaka with a 17-pointer.
Yeah.
A lot of people have him, like 11%, but I mean, I know I've sniffed around him, and I think I debated him from a free hit team a few weeks ago. And
yeah.
I've been thinking I want a United defender, but unfortunately the City boys were just too good, and then they both got benched. So now this was almost like, I could see a lot of people probably pivoted from two City defenders, the double up, to maybe having one United defender this week, with the West Brom and Newcastle games coming up. So I'd say a few people brought him in, or brought in Maguire even, and had a bit of a field day. But I think their defenders, they look relatively solid, and albeit that was a bit of a freak fixture, I think Shaw looks very attacking, and I know his assist numbers aren't great, but there's been a lot of great balls he's put on a plate this season that have been missed. I've seen a highlight video on Twitter of like 10 passes he put into the 6-yard box that people missed, and it's just kind of like his expected assists must be through the roof.
Yeah, and he takes corners when he's on the pitch. Yeah. And I think what was putting me and a lot of people off until recently, where it kind of felt like Shaw could be dropped or rotated at any moment with Telles, it seems like Shaw is, well, he's definitely the number one choice at left back now. And I think it's one of those scenarios where he'll probably play, you know, at least 9 out of 10 games. He'll get like the odd rest. Like even someone like Andy Robertson at Liverpool, maybe not this season, but I remember in seasons gone by, he has got like the odd rest. It's not like a Pep style rotation where it's every other week. It is an occasional rest. But I think, yes, I know for a fact Solskjaer doesn't rotate at the back as much as someone like Pep. The back four, if everyone's fit, seems to be Shaw, Lindelof, Maguire and Wan-Bissaka. Wan-Bissaka, Maguire especially. Lindelof had a little injury. That's the only reason he really dropped out of the team. So I think that's the back four. And I'd go for Shaw out of those, and I'd have a solid bench that if he did, you know, like I said, if Telles gets the odd bit of game time, then take it on the chin for one game where you can have a solid bench option.
Well, we can all afford it. That's the beauty of it.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like I made a bit of a luxury transfer this week, but I just got bitten with the double City bench in this Cancelo and Stones last week, and I had fuck all to come in. So because Kyle Walker-Peters was injured, so I brought in Cresswell. We can all afford to have that slightly stronger bench now with the likes of KDB out of action.
Yeah, that's another talking point actually, with so many premiums out. Who, like, there's no premium striker at the minute, is there really? Kane, Aguero, Vardy all out, Werner not worth it. So, you know, I don't think anyone will have a striker any higher than Martial at 8.7, and then in midfield, like you said, there's De Bruyne out, Mane's now out. Who else is there? There's like Salah and Bruno, the only two premiums really, so there's lots of money to go around. Like I said, I've got crazy amount in my bank, like 7.11.
I had 11.2 million in my bank last week.
Yeah, it's nuts. But in terms of the Man United assets, so I don't know, it's tough. I still don't know if I'm that convinced on if I would be like looking to bring in someone like Rashford or Martial right now. I know obviously Martial did well last night off the bench, but there's still that threat from Cavani who did well. So I don't really want an asset like Martial who is going to be rested and rotated. Rashford again is an okay pick, and there is the money to potentially have him there, but again he can frustrate. Obviously last night he did well, but even then he came off on the 59th minute and ended up with no bonus, even though goal and assist. So don't know. I'm not saying, you know, transfer out Rashford. I'm just not sure if I'd transfer him in.
Yeah, I think the only one who I'd be actively going for, if I was one of the 45% who don't have him, is Bruno. I think you need Bruno. You just need him. He's the only player at the minute that you need for me.
Yeah, I echo that 1,000,000%. And also that there's kind of this myth that goes around that, you know, he's really reliant on penalties, and he has got a lot of penalties. I'm not denying that, but you know, United are winning them for a reason. They've got players like Martial and Rashford who win them regularly, and he's good. He rarely misses either. But even, you know, take penalties out, he's still returning really well. You know, in terms of assists, goals, he creates a lot of chances as well. So then he normally does well on the bonus, even if they're not converted. So yeah, no, he's an all-round threat of assists, goals, penalties, and for a premium, I think he's even still cheaper than the likes of, you know, Salah, Mane, De Bruyne.
Well, there's been 22 games he's played this season.
Well,
that's in terms of game weeks. Let me look at this. I'm trying to count it up. How many games have United played? Fuck it, doesn't matter. 23 goal involvements. Which is insane.
So better than it's on average better than a return every game he plays. So
yeah, so like, that's all that needs said there. Like, I had Rashford last week, and had him for a couple of weeks, had him for his one, his two, and his three, I think. Maybe even had him for his two and his three from the double.
Exactly, yeah.
Got rid of him this week and he gets a 9-pointer, which was a bit sickening, particularly with the -4 for Salah. But as you say, it's as well he got taken off before he got the extra 2 points, and now it wouldn't be too hard for Salah to maybe catch him. But
yeah, I just think Rashford, I'm just not sure about him as a long-term option. I think he's kind of that price point that, I know we don't really need the money at the minute, but at some point it will come back to a stage again where money is a bit tighter, and then you've got a kind of a 9.5 million asset that you're not really going to captain. If you're ever going to captain a United asset, it's probably going to be Bruno. So yeah, for me, not loving him as an asset, but kind of on the fence about him a little bit.
Big man McTominay comes up with the goods again. Do you know?
Yeah.
There's another goal. Third goal of the season. Boom.
It's decent. It's decent. He's got a good long range strike on him, which isn't obviously a good source of FPL points, but he can hit a ball.
He can smash a ball. Look, we could go over this team all day. Do you know, I think for me, Bruno's the only one I'd need. And other than that, I'd be looking at defence. Something interesting is the last three clean sheets they've had, Lindelof's been on the pitch. The two games he was out for, Fulham and Southampton, Fulham and Sheffield, they actually conceded, which would probably be two you'd bank them to keep a clean sheet. So Lindelof, yeah, while maybe not one for bonus points and goal involvements, he's really helps their clean sheet potential. So yeah, what was the last game from last night after the 9-0? We had Newcastle and Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I'll just give a little 20-second overview on that and then we'll move on to the questions. So yeah, it was I didn't see much of it, but obviously the only kind of goal involvement that's of any note really was Callum Wilson popped up with an assist. And you know, Callum Wilson's performed really well considering he is in that Newcastle side. So Callum Wilson's still a really good budget striker. A lot of goal returns for him as well. He's just got a brace against Everton, then an assist. So he's a player that you could legitimately hold or bring in, even despite Newcastle not being the best attacking team. He's kind of defied the odds all season. So yeah, good option there. Riedewald, cheap midfielder, popped up with a goal, but don't go near him as an FPL asset.
Zaha let people down, I think.
I think he went off injured as well on the 59th.
Did it? 59th? Jeez.
I'm not 100% on that.
Let me just check here. He went off in the, Flash Course says 58th, FPL might say 59th, I don't know, but Zaha did go off. It's a bit worrying he went off injured. I don't have a clue about the extent of that, but I was very close ways to go and Rashford to Zaha, or sorry, Suchek to Zaha instead of Rashford to Salah.
Yeah, he's another one that's done. If you actually look at the amount of goals he's got this season from midfield, it's pretty good. I think it's 9 goals. You know, not far off the likes of Calvert-Lewin and Bamford. So he's an okay pick, but again, he's not something that I'm considering with or without his injury.
Yeah, no, he's not someone I've had all season, and I probably won't have him this season. But he's been in some ways carrying that Crystal Palace team for years, it seems now. I'm so surprised he hasn't left. If he doesn't leave this summer, that God knows, I don't know what's going on there. He seems to be quite content though in his game time there. He wanted out for so long and now he seems to have settled in a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he is still angling for a move, the last I heard, but I don't really know. I try not to keep up to date too much with it. Not with transfer gossip and like what play, like he's whinging about wanting to leave. Like, I just think, don't sign a 5-year contract or whatever he did. So yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, I'm not too interested in that. If he moves, he moves. That's when we can kind of assess that for any sort of FPL reasons. But at the minute, a Crystal Palace midfielder, I'm not that keen on Zaha.
Well, just a quick shout out before we get into the next part of the podcast. We'll go through some questions, Wes. The people that submit us questions, the listener, a few of you have been good enough to leave us a review. These ones are 5 stars. Thank you to Crutherford. Good insight into FPL, and the hosts are entertaining, Wes. He thinks we're entertaining, which is brilliant. Cider1977 says, solid new FPL pod, which gives you expertise and ideas and promises some great guests. This is the bit I like about this review. It's presented in typical John Ellis fashion, which means you can mainly chill out and listen easily, but get woken up by the odd rant and get the swear jar open. Well worth a listen. Thank you, Cider. And the FPL SWAT there, Jack QLFC, Lee C, KNKQ, and Liverbird Dan. Thank you. There's a load more of them there.
Is there one from my mate James Mills?
James Mills.
Can you see that?
I can scroll down and try and find him.
I'll tell a little story about James Mills. So he listens every week, and you know, he's been texting me crying about not getting a shout out. So here it is. And also, he actually got me into FPL back when I started playing it, like 7 years ago, whatever it was. I at uni sort of days, I was playing the Sun Dream team, I think, with my mates there. And then when I went back to uni, he's one of my mates from home. He was the one who was like, no, we've got to play. The best one is the official game, the official FPL game. So that's how I got into it. And then since then, I've just been beating him every single year.
What was his name?
James Mills.
James Mills. No, I've got one from a different James here. But I have my own kind of story like that. My own guy who's like, you know, just always badger me for a shout at the podcast. And it's my cousin Brandy. He did leave us a review here. Great to get a decent FPL podcast. Looking forward to hearing the rest from Brandy. And like, he sent me a message this week. He's loving it. He's like, when's the pod out? When's the pod out? So shout out to Brandy. But yeah, he's had a bit of a stinker the last few weeks. I've caught him at the top of our mini league. So nice. On to some questions. We've got a few here. Rich FPL, last week's brilliant standing guest. He did a great job. I thought I was out of a job, fantastic. To be honest with you. I thought I was going to be ousted. He asks, looking at the in-form assets at the moment, which formation do you boys think is the best going forward? 3-5-2 or 3-4-3, or even playing with four defenders? So that, do you know, there's a lot of decisions there. I think with that extra cash available, I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I think we have the flexibility to play whatever the fuck we want at the minute.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I try not to think about it like that. I kind of get sucked into playing 3-4-3, generally speaking. I do tweak it to a 3-5-2. I very rarely go with four defenders, but yeah, it's flexible at the minute. You know, there's double Man City defenders doing well, so you could go 4-4-2. I know Will from Fantasy Football Hub is playing. He's got Brewster in his squad, actually, but he's doing really well. He's like top 1K in the world now. But the reason why I'm bringing him up is because, yeah, he's got that Brewster spot who goes basically last on his bench, and he kind of plays a 4-4-2 most weeks, or sometimes tweaks it to a 3-5-2. So for me, I think it's just about what assets and what price points there are. So the reason I like having, say, four midfielders is because you've got the likes of a Lookman or a Soucek type player that you can put on your bench and have as a really good sub one. If you played with two strikers, then Brewster as a, say, if he was your cheap striker, I know at the minute we don't really need the money, so maybe right now at this current time it doesn't really matter, but generally speaking, when we do actually start to buy the premiums back, like De Bruyne and Vardy and Kane, then money's going to be tight and we're going to want our cheap bench player to be good, like Soucek is, but not cheap for the sake of it like Brewster is. Do you know what I mean? There is a big difference in a Soucek coming first on your bench, where, you know, there's been people saying, oh, you know, you're lucky you're getting Soucek off your bench. Well, not really. If your mini league rivals have got Brewster coming off your bench, you deserve those kind of Soucek points rather than the person with the Brewster, if that makes sense. But back to kind of narrowing it in on, you know, what formation is best going forward, I wouldn't look at it like that. Just get the assets in that are the best, and week by week sometimes it will change. Some weeks it will be better to have a 4-4-2 type week if, you know, City, you've got a bank of clean sheet and someone else have maybe, and especially if the likes of, you know, if Andy Robertson and Trent start picking up their attacking numbers again, and Cancelo can become, you know, if there's more attacking nailed on defensive options, then we can look at going four at the back or whatever. So yeah, I really don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I tend to play with a kind of structure of a two cheaper defenders for my bench and a cheapish midfielder for my bench, and then generally being a 3-4-3 guy. Or, you know, I made a kind of mistake a couple of weeks ago where I started Soucek over Bamford, and Bamford did really well away at Leicester, but equally I've got those sort of decisions right in the past as well, so it's hard to maybe get it right. But yeah, I'm kind of waffling now, but I think I've kind of answered it.
No,
don't worry about formation, basically.
Yeah, I see. I'm a 3-4-3 most weeks, but if one of the strikers is doing shit, I'll bring in Soucek. In fact, to be honest with you, I'd play the striker unless they were injured, I think.
Yeah.
What do I even think on this? Sorry, were you going to say something?
I know, I was just going to say that I kind of, Bamford going into that game against Leicester was on a pretty poor run of blanking. He was getting withdrawn early. He was playing Leicester, who I thought was a decent defence, and I thought that maybe Soucek had a better chance against Liverpool, probably a mistake in hindsight, but, you know, Soucek and Bamford were both playing good defences, and Soucek was just in better form. Soucek was off the back of his brace, so I went with kind of the player who'd been doing better in the more recent weeks, and yeah, just went for it. You can't really guarantee you're going to get it. You can't every single week bench the exact right players. If you've got a squad of, you know, 15, 14 good players, you are going to leave points on the bench. It's inevitable. But in terms of a mindset with that, you shouldn't worry about it, because let's say you had 11 starters and then three duds on the bench, you're still going to get, your bench will look, it won't annoy you as much, but you'll still end up with the exact same amount of points, if that makes sense. So yeah, don't worry about bench points. I'd rather have those players. So for me, I'm quite happy now Bamford's back on form and I can start him this week, quite happy that actually he's back on form. So it's kind of a good thing. Although obviously I was irritated to leave his points on the bench.
Yeah, I think this kind of segues nicely into the next question. Yeah. Michael Eliasson, what to do with the problem of having too many good bench players? Is it time to focus on a more potent starting 11, or is a good bench still a must-have? And I am kind of advocating now, and maybe I'm wrong, but the way I'm looking at this is my plan is to kind of have a strong-ish bench, depth in the squad, particularly after the Stones Cancelo benchings. You never know what's going to happen there. I wouldn't actually be surprised if Gundogan was rested against Burnley, which I have him captain, but you know Pep's just unpredictable as fuck. And every time you think you've got him in your pocket, you don't. So I'm advocating a strong bench at the minute while we have the extra funds, because you just don't know.
Yeah.
But my kind of plan is that maybe around the time some of these premiums are coming up, we'll be coming back around to about game week 26. Maybe that's a wild card opportunity. Maybe that's a redistribute funds and balance that bench back out and, you know, stick the likes of your Brewsters and Suchek in or whoever to get money for the more premium.
So the way I'm kind of looking at it, even at the minute, I don't want to make my bench super strong where it is like impossible dilemmas. I'm seeing teams out there that have got their cheapest, out their front eight, their cheapest player is like a 6.5 million asset and they've got to choose every week who to bench. So for me, I'm keeping, for the rest of the season, I will have the likes of, say, you know, I've got Loughton on my bench at the minute, 4.4 million. I could go cheaper and get like a 3.8 who doesn't play, but I'd rather have that Burnley defender. When they've got a good fixture, maybe I'll get lucky. He'll come off the bench for a clean sheet. And someone like Dallas, I've got him at 4.5. He can be a bench player and I'll have a strong 11. And someone like Soucek, like I've said, Soucek, Lookman, Smith Rowe, they're not going to break the bank. They're not going to detriment your front 11 unless obviously all the premiums start banging. They shouldn't detriment your front 11, but then you should still have a half decent bench. And then you can be happy in the lot. Like you, I think it was two or three game weeks ago, John, you had, you know, really strong front eight, including Soucek, but you couldn't really bench anyone else. I think your next cheapest player was Grealish. Not that you should necessarily just look at their price tags, but, you know, your front eight was really good. You had to bench Soucek. He got a random brace at home. But, you know, if I was the FA manager of that situation, I'd be thinking, well, you know, I've got a good bench asset there. He's got points, fair enough. Realistically, I'm not going to bench any of the other players. And it is what it is, rather than having a dud there. Having a dud makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, like Soucek for me now has been first on my bench through a 10-pointer, an 11-pointer, and a 15-pointer.
Yeah, it is frustrating.
He's been my first sub. But it is what it is. Like, he's not my starter. He is that bench guy, and he's doing a damn good job of it. And that's the way I'm trying to view it. But it's a hard one to transition then to the point where it's like, okay, should I be viewing him as a starter now? It's hard, and it's again the price tag. Yeah. If he was 8 million, you could be damn sure I'd be starting him. And it's just that, it's the Gundogan sort of bias. It's a weird one.
Yeah.
I wish if there's any psychologists listening, you know, hit us with what bias that is or what the cognitive issue is there.
Definitely is. And it's to say, you've obviously know that you're kind of bench points there, but you've kind of stuck with, you know, Soucek is your bench player. I kind of tried to play it a bit differently where I played in the week Bamford did get his big 15 pointer like quite recently against Leicester. I played Lookman because he had West Brom. I definitely wanted to play Lookman for that one, and I played Soucek even though he had Liverpool because of Soucek's recent form. And I, you know, that ended up being, whether it's unlucky or a mistake, I lost out on points because of that decision. So it is definitely easier when you kind of have that player that's on your bench guaranteed. You're never really going to get, if you know that he's your bench player, then it's going to annoy you a lot less. But I kind of think I'm happy to be annoyed and get over it rather than detriment my own squad just to not feel annoyed.
I get what you mean. There's loads of great questions here, Wes. I'm just looking through them, trying to vet them before I call them out. But
You do that. I'll just give a quick shout out to everyone who has given a question. We really appreciate it. I know we kind of say it every week, but I don't want people to think it's like an empty thanks. It is a genuine thanks, like kind of blown away because we jumped on a call, didn't we, before actually starting the pod, and we actually realised that we hadn't even gone out for questions. And, you know, I put a tweet out and immediately it gets like 5, 6, 7 responses and then even more now as we're talking. So, yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Someone to give a shout out to is Alex Emery. I recorded a podcast with him on my other podcast this week. Great lad. He put in a question, but Alex, we're not going to dwell on it, and I'll tell you why. Because no one else cares. It's your team.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that one. Cheers for the question, Alex.
Thank you very much. But we tend not to go over individual team problems because there'll be about a bunch of people sitting at home like, talk to me about general topics.
We'll have you on the pod soon, though, Alex. So yeah, cheers for the question. But we can't answer what to do with your teammate.
Yeah, maybe we can reply afterwards.
Yeah.
Brendan Abrahams, who are the best forwards right now and for the double game week ahead? Now, Ben Crellin has a table.
Who are the best forwards right now?
Yeah. Who are the best forwards right now?
Tough, isn't it? There's barely any to kind of choose from. We've kind of spoiled for choice a little while ago where, you know, Kane and Vardy were fit and firing, and then the cheaper ones were as well. It kind of changes in my mind all the time. I did bench Bamford for that game, but I still do like him as an option just because I know that Leeds are a team that throughout the season will create chances, and Bamford's got a good chance of goals and assists there. Like his assist against Leicester was brilliant, and I think more players should do that. His 3-1 goal, he's got a, I don't know, 50-50 chance of scoring, let's say, because he's 1-on-1 with the keeper and a good shot he scores, but equally, you know, Kasper Schmeichel can save it. But a simple 5-yard pass to the side and his teammate Jack Harrison had a tap him. If more players did that, more, you know, for their actual, I'm not talking FPL so much, but for their teams would win more games. You see it all the time where players like, I don't want to sort of bash Salah, but Salah's kind of a bit selfish.
He's in my head. Like.
Yeah, there's plenty of players who do it. And even when I used to play football, my strike partner would be like it a little bit and it would annoy me. I just used to think, I'm literally here with a tap him, just pass it. But so best strikers, it's tough, isn't it? So go on, John. I was just going to say there's not many to choose from.
There's not. I was just going to bottle in and say, like, it's all the kind of the ones that everyone has. Bamford, you can't look past. He's yellow flagged here, but he said himself it was just a dead leg in an interview. Antonio is a monster with 3 great fixtures coming up. 2 better than the other one. Villa might be a tough enough one. Callum Wilson has 2 assists, 2 goals in his last 3 games. Looking good. Fixtures kind of turning, though. Southampton, Chelsea, United, Wolves. I don't know. Watkins is another one people are debating. Okay fixtures. Had a couple of goals, blanked against Southampton. I don't know. There's so many players
I was just going to jump in and say Watkins is kind of he's doing really well in what a lot of us FPL managers like to look at, like the underlying stats, like the XG, how many shots in the box he's taking, blah, blah, blah. But he kind of needs to start delivering on those numbers now. I know he has scored a couple of goals in the last 3 games, I think it is. He's got 8 goals this season, 4 assists. He's played every available minute for Villa, which I do like. I like that he's a 90-minute man. It kind of proves that his fitness levels are good. He's rarely rotated, and he's on for those last 10 minutes, those last few minutes where goals can fly in. So I do like that about him. Their fixtures are. Let's have a little look there. West Ham, Arsenal, Brighton, and I think they've got a potential for a double game week soon as well. Firmino's on people's lips and Lacazette as the kind of a bit more expensive ones, and obviously Martial back with a bit of a bang last night. I wouldn't put anyone off getting the likes of those players, but I always feel like Firmino and Lacazette are players that always let you down in the long haul, that you kind of always itch to transfer them out because Firmino will go quiet for a few games where he might play well but then he won't score and he'll get rotated.
There's no forward there. For me, there is no forward who I would captain in any fixture.
Yeah, so the captain's all in midfield at the minute, or even someone like Cancelo, with the likes of Kane and Vardy out, and obviously Aguero's been out for pretty much all the season. Yeah, the captain's the options for strikers. You know, if Calvert-Lewin starts showing to form, Calvert-Lewin's an interesting one. I had a Vardy issue to deal with, and I couldn't get Antonio because I had 3 West Ham. So it was kind of, Calvert-Lewin was my only really choice. I wasn't going to touch Callum Wilson at the time because he was on a bad personal run at the time, and don't really fancy Newcastle. But I brought in Calvert-Lewin for a good couple of fixtures, but he really did disappoint against Newcastle, so it's interesting to see how that one pans out. I might just give him the Leeds game and maybe look to move him on, but there's not much choice. Like Ings and Adams at the minute from Southampton aren't really players who are shouting out at me. Chelsea strikers rotate too much. Martial and Cavani, for me, rotate too much. So the choice basically is Bamford, Wilson, Calvert-Lewin, Watkins, and then maybe the likes of Firmino, Lacazette. But it's a small option. So maybe, like back to Rich's question earlier, maybe it is better to have 2 strikers and have a stronger sort of a 4-4-2 or a 4-5-1. Maybe that could be an option. But for me, I do like to keep the structure of a 3-4-3 style. So yeah, I'll probably persevere with my 3 of Calvert-Lewin, Watkins and Bamford. They're a decent cheap 3 at the minute. And I'll see how they're going. I'll assess it in the coming weeks.
I've got Calvert-Lewin, Bamford and Antonio instead of Watkins, but you know, if one of those was injured, I'd be tempted to stick with a cheapy and upgrade Suchek to someone and go for the 3-5-2 or something. I don't know, we'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
But A question here, which I find quite interesting. It's one that doesn't really affect me, but FF Thinker says, with the Man City double game weeks likely to be coming up and a wild card in the back pocket, would you consider Ederson a good pick with no rotation risk? So I was thinking this, you know, I was thinking obviously a lot of us at double City defence, a lot of us have been shafted. A lot of people are worrying that Diaz might have a rotation coming up. It's hard again to protect Pep Roulette, but if I didn't have Martinez in goal, I'd be sorely tempted with all that cash flying about, because for me, Martinez has just been so solid, and every time that they concede, he generally gets some save points. It's just, he's a rock, and I couldn't justify getting rid of him for Ederson personally, and the triple cities, the three city slots is the big issue here for me. But if you had two city players and you were looking to get in a defender, it might be worth going if you had a shit enough keeper to Ederson. I wouldn't rule it out for the first time this season.
Exactly, yeah, something I'm considering. So the way I play FPL in terms of goalkeepers for years now, I've barely ever touched the expensive goalkeepers, because if you look at someone like Mendy from Chelsea or Ederson, they'll get a lot of clean sheets and a lot of six-pointers, but the cheaper keepers are, one, they're cheaper, so when you need that money, that extra 1.5 million is really handy. And secondly, you know, someone like McCarthy will get, you know, the points difference between McCarthy and Ederson over the course of the season probably is, maybe Edison's taken over him now, but there was a stage where the top three or four keepers were all like sub 5 million. So generally speaking, I don't really like it, because like you said, someone like Martinez, they'll get the save points, and someone like Pope as well, he gets, every time he gets a clean sheet, it's pretty much bonus points. Whereas with Ederson, if City are winning 4-0, he's not going to get any bonus. So there are definitely downsides to having that. But like you said, there's money floating around at the minute. Money's not really an issue at the minute. City do have double game weeks. And when double game weeks happen, that's when Pep's most likely to rotate. So I do actually like the option. And it's something I'm considering. Especially if, like you said, if you've got a weak keeper area and the rest of your team is pretty strong. So say if your defence is really strong, do you really want to be transferring out a strong defender for the likes of John Stones, who might get rotated? Whereas you could transfer out your keeper who's doing shit and bring in Ederson for those sort of in the double game weeks. He should be getting a lot of 12 pointers because it's just two clean sheets in those. And I think City have got potential double game weeks in 24, 26 and 27, so they're right around the corner. So yeah, I'm all for Ederson at the minute.
Yeah, very good. I would be too, as I say, if I didn't have Martinez, but I think there's much worse with that extra cash than having a nailed on City defender, because as you say, that rotation's going to kill us, and I know it is. We'll move on to another question. Thoughts on Son without Kane and Spurs in general? Should we hold Son until after West Brom? Fixtures look decent after the City game. So that's from Ewan White. We seem to be talking about Spurs every week, Wiz, for the first half since we started the podcast. And obviously with Kane's injury, it's been dry for a bit. What are your thoughts on Spurs at the minute?
Yeah, so I do think Harry Kane is a big, obviously, it's an obvious thing to say, but he is, for me, their best player in terms of link-up play, hold-up play at the top of the pitch, obviously can score goals. So I know there's talks about, like in previous seasons, Son's done well without Kane, but with the way Spurs are set up now, it suits playing Kane like as the number nine, who then just drops deep, and then Son kind of becomes the striker who gets fed great chances from Kane. So for me, I do think it is Son will be detrimented by no Kane, because he'll just get less chances created for him. And if Son does create a really good chance for the likes of, I don't know who's going to play there, maybe Vinicius or maybe Gareth Bale, the form those two are in compared to, or the ability that those two have compared to Kane, it's less likely to get assists. So I think Son's still a good option, don't get me wrong. He's still only, 9.5-ish, maybe 9.7. And money's not really an option. So yeah, if you've got him, definitely hold him for the West Brom fixture. Here, we'll get onto captain soon, but he's possibly the best captaincy choice this week because Liverpool and City play each other. So the likes of, you know, Gundogan, Sterling, Salah, do you want to captain them in one of those big games? Possibly not. And then Man United have Everton at home. Bruno Fernandes, a good captaincy option. But yeah, Son's definitely up there for the captaincy options this week.
Yeah, I think I won't really be looking at Son until Kane's back personally, but I can see the appeal.
Yeah.
Particularly with that fixture against West Brom in game week 23. But I mean, the numbers they're putting up in terms of the goal contributions with each other and the assists and goals they have with each other.
Yeah.
Like more than any other team ever, it's so clear how essential Kane is for Son to prosper. But that's just me. That's me thinking logically. But I think you could definitely see Son grabbing two goals against West Brom, no problem. But I do think it's a bit riskier a pick, and how I like to play the game is all about trying to tilt the odds in my favour. I just think it's an unnecessary risk with some of the midfield options out there.
Yeah, and they did play against Brighton. They were really flat. So for me, I haven't got Son. I won't be bringing him in. If I had him, I definitely wouldn't be transferring him out yet. I'd give him the West Brom game. If that's flat and there's better options emerging, then you can maybe look at transferring out, yeah.
Tom wants to know, what do you do with Liverpool and City players in Game Week 23 when they play against each other?
So I think that I want to touch on this actually, because a lot of people have this sort of, they have this fear when they've got a lot of players in one game or yada yada, they don't really want to play them. So I'm going to have four players in that game by the looks of it, which will be Cancelo, Salah, Gundogan and Robertson. Now, I might get some points from some of them, some might blank, might get lucky, might get four blanks, might do really well. So I don't really play this whole, I've got too many players in one fixture, I'm going to transfer them out or I'm going to start benching them. I don't think there's anything to do. I just wouldn't captain anyone from those teams in that game and just ride it out. I don't want to be transferring out the likes of Salah or Robertson, I don't think. And I don't want to, definitely don't want to be transferring out Cancelo or Gundogan. And do I really want to be benching any of those? If my bench was a bit stronger, like some people have got really strong benches, so you could potentially bench the likes of them. But if you think back to, you know, the Spurs game, people were benching the likes of some assets in that game. And obviously Mane did really well in that game, for example. So just because there's a tough fixture doesn't mean players can't get points.
Yeah, I'm looking there. I think like the likes of Stones, I might bench Stones for Dallas because I don't fancy them to keep a clean sheet against Liverpool.
Yeah.
It's going to happen now, isn't it? But it's... I'll be keeping the assets. I wouldn't be transferring them out because of how strong they are long term.
Yeah, 100%. So I think the answer short is keep them, don't camp to them, and potentially if you've got a strong bench, you could look at benching the more fringe players, but I wouldn't bench the premiums from those teams.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Wes, will we move on just to kind of wrap up? We'll talk about our teams briefly over the last week or two, very briefly, not to bore people. We'll look at next week and we'll talk about that captaincy option, which we've already alluded to a bit.
Yeah.
So I'll kick it out. I'll kick it right off. I had a couple of great weeks since I spoke to you last. At 61 points with the old Cancelo Gundogan double up in game week 20. Then at 55 points last week, Martinez in goal, Bamford played for me. Captain Gundogan, unfortunately, and I got shafted by the double City benching of Stones and Cancelo. But this week so far, I've just got Fernandez. My move was Rashford and who did I get rid of? Sorry, it was Rashford and Kyle Walker-Peters for Salah and Cresswell for a -4. Looking like at best I could break even now. I could get lucky, you know, Salah with Brighton, maybe I could break even there. But
yeah,
17 points. Game week rank has dropped massively after 9 green arrows in the bounce. I went from an overall rank of 47k, peaked in the 30s, and I'm at 81 now. So happy enough. Do you know, a couple of things haven't went my way. The Salah goals at the end of the last game week really plummeted my rank because I didn't have them. But I'm happy out and looking forward to next week.
Yeah, exactly. Like this week's only just started for both of us, really. We've only had the one player play, so can't really judge if we're going to get a red or a green yet. But like you, I've only had Fernandes play 17 points. Happy enough with that. I don't think he was a strong captaincy choice or captained by a lot of people. I've had a bad couple of weeks. I did have one really good week in there somewhere. The game was coming so thick and fast, but in generally speaking, I had a really good December and then followed by a really poor January. And I think I'm sitting at around, before this game started, at around 175k or something like that. So not where I wanted to be, but in the bigger scheme of things, end of game week 6, I was doing so poorly that I'd have definitely taken that at that point. If you'd have said by, you know, game weeks 21, 22, I'd be where I was, I'd have taken it. And I'm still confident with, you know, 16, 17 game weeks left, whatever it is, that I should be able to have a really good rank by the end of the season. Looking forward to next week. Now, at the minute, my captaincy, I think, should we segue on to captaincy now in terms of who I'm thinking about?
Two things very quickly.
Yeah, go on.
I asked you a few weeks ago, would you have took 30K, top 30K? I think you were sitting in the top 30K. I said, would you take that now? And you said you'd take your chances. Would you take that now?
because I do like to have those. The good thing about my season history is I've got a consistent level of being in those top areas. I know, you know, there's some people out there with a few really high finishes, but I've got a kind of consistently good history. So at the minute, I'm not achieving that. And yeah, I think, like you said, I got up to around 22K after my run of like 10 green arrows. So sort of end of December time. And then, yeah, I've dropped quite a lot, which is frustrating. A few mistakes, a few bits of unluckiness or whatever you want to call it. So yeah, would I take it? Yeah, probably. I'm not in a strong enough position to be, you know, arrogant enough to say that I want to come higher than that, top 30K at this stage, do well in my mini leagues, I'd be happy enough.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll move on to captaincy. I don't know who I'm going to captain. Let me have a sconce here. It'd probably be Bruno against Everton, to be honest with you. But
yeah, so at the minute, like I said, I've already said it a couple of times in the pod, Liverpool and City play each other. So, you know, like I said, their assets could do well. It could be, I think it was a couple of years ago, wasn't it, where Liverpool did really well at home to City and Salah scored from long range or whatever happened. So players can get points in those games. But I, for captaincy reasons, I will avoid that fixture. And because I don't have Son, like I said, we've already alluded to how we don't think Son's as good of an option without Kane. I don't think that's not really debatable. Like you said, they've linked up so many times. But because it's the fixture, West Brom have been pretty poor. Son is their best goal-scoring threat. I do back Spurs to, you know, I think everyone's going to be backing Spurs to score one or two goals in that game. And if they're going to come from anyone, it's likely to be Son. I think, and he's still on corners, so Son could be a good source of points in this particular game week. But yeah, as I don't have him, it was set to be Bruno anyway, and then off the back of him performing well yesterday and United as a team performing well, Everton not doing great at the minute. Obviously, we don't know how they've got on this game week, but yeah, back their last fixture as of now was the Newcastle game where they lost 2-0. So yeah, I can't look past. Fernandes really, really consistent, creates chances on penalties, can score from open play. A lot of routes to him scoring points. And again, like you alluded to earlier, there's no real striker option to captain. So for me, the captaincy picks itself this week.
Yeah, I'm just going to play that simple. It'll be Bruno Fernandes, bar something crazy. I think I'll keep my vice on either Antonio or Bamford. Probably Bamford looked great, but I just fancy Antonio to dick Fulham. I really do.
Really? Fulham's defence has been we haven't really discussed Fulham. Their defence has been pretty solid in recent weeks. They did concede, obviously, to West Brom. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to back against Antonio scoring that fixture. But I think in our minds, like, you see Fulham as a fixture and you think, oh, wow, great fixture. But then if you actually look back at how well they're doing defensively in the last maybe 6 to 8 weeks, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Do you know what, actually? When I look at it, though, I'm thinking, I don't know, I just have this feeling. It's just, I feel it right down in my plums, Wiz. Do you know, I just feel it there. I don't know what it is. I just feel Antonio going and fucking Fulham. But when I actually look at it, Bamford's the smarter pick there. But bottom line is, Bruno's probably going to play, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, but it is always good to set your vice captain just in case. And yeah, I mean, if you're feeling that brave, John, go for Antonio for your captain.
Not a mission. Do you know what, though? Bamford captain might work. Why doesn't Antonio captain work then? I hear you ask. I don't know. I've gone down a hole.
Palace at home, yeah. There's definitely... Maybe this is... If you don't fancy Fernandes, or if it's looking like he might get a... I don't want to start talking about him getting a rest because it is unlikely, I guess. But yeah, I think this is... Some weeks, like the week that we're in now, is pretty much isn't one to take much of a risk. But next week, there's a chance where you could... I think captains will be fairly...
Wide open.
Fairly split. Or you could maybe take a risk. I don't know, actually. Maybe will everyone just go Fernandes/Son? I don't know. But what I'm saying is, because there's not a pure standout where there's not someone banging form playing someone really awful, maybe it's a week to take a... If you fancy the likes of Bamford, Antonio, or something like that, why not go for it on this sort of week?
Yeah, I think, yeah, because obviously few people will stick with their Salahs and their Gundogans if they're a bit mad, and then Fernandes will probably be the most captained. It's a pity Grealish doesn't have a better fixture. If he had a better fixture, or if Arsenal were shit, like terrible in form, albeit they've lost two of their defenders, if you include Leno in that sort of bracket. But
yeah,
you know, maybe Villa could have a field day at Arsenal as well. So it is kind of wide open. In terms of captaincy, this is one of the most wide open weeks I've seen in a while.
Yeah, and yeah, like you said, Grealish has looked really good. His numbers he's putting up is good. He's created the most chances of anyone in the league. He's got until the United game, before this game we kicked off, he was joint top for assists.
See the amount of times the man has been fouled?
Yeah, he draws a lot of fouls.
Like, it's mental. Like, yeah. Remember Zaha used to be the guy, like, Grealish is dicking him. Like, Grealish is getting fouled every minute. It's insane how much more he's fouled than
Grealish
any other player in the league. It's obscene. But yeah, Wes, I think that's all. Is there anything else you wanted to discuss today?
No, I don't think so. I think we kind of covered off everything that could kind of come up. I think just one last thing would be to keep an eye out for double game week news that I don't think we'll get it before the game week 23 deadline that's coming up on Saturday the 6th of Feb, obviously a few days after we're recording, but before the game week 24 deadline, we likely will. So if you can maybe save a transfer this week, I saved a transfer last week. I'm hoping, because my squad's in fairly good shape, maybe just to use one transfer, especially as I've got money in the bank, that I could kind of do any, that's given me the flexibility though, where I won't have to use two. Say if I do fancy, you know, upgrading Lookman to a Sterling type character or whatever it might be, I've got the money to do that. Which, like I say, means you don't have to use both your transfers to achieve the transfer you want. And yeah, two free transfers going into game week 24 will be handy to assess who's got a double game week, who's got good fixtures, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's just a little tip, if possible.
Very good. Well, Wes, we'll leave it there. Everyone listening, make sure you go and check out Fanslide. Link to download the app is in the description. There's £250. It's a free roll. You don't have to pay to enter. £250 prize up for the Liverpool City game. Yeah, why not use your FPL knowledge in a one-off match?
So yeah, just go download Fanslide, check it out. And I just wanted to jump in and just basically say thanks to everyone for listening, subscribing, all that good stuff. Reaching out on Twitter, give us a follow. And yeah, thanks, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, look, thank you. I'll just echo that. Thank you so much to everyone for listening. The reviews have been amazing. The listenership's gone up every single week. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review if you can and subscribe while you're here. We try and get podcasts out every single game week, but obviously, my fucking dog.
Leave this in.
I'll leave this in. All right, yeah, I have to go because my dog's going crazy. We've got a delivery.
So yeah, just subscribe, listen, rate us. Cheers, everyone. Bye.